Well, enough of that. If you really should have to exist among these favorites of yours, at least you will know from this last story of mine that although the physicians there write dozens of wiseacring names on their prescriptions, their remedies are almost always prepared in these official establishments called pharmacies in the manner of that Dover's powder. It even happens occasionally that early in the morning those good pharmacists prepare a whole barrel of some liquid or other and a large box of some powder. The rest of the day they fill every prescription that comes in by drawing liquid from the common barrel or by taking powder from the common box, in order that the mixture prepared beforehand should not always look exactly alike. These worthy professionals add something to vary the colors and to change their taste and smell. In spite of all I've said, however, I advise you very strongly to be extremely careful with one sort of remedy they have, because it does sometimes happen that these kind pharmacists put something poisonous for the planetary body into these mixtures, of course, by mistake. Moreover, for beings with normal reason, a custom has been established, of course, accidentally, of depicting what is called a skull and crossbones on the labels of mixtures of this kind, so that they can always distinguish these toxic remedies from ordinary medications. Be that as it may, remember that among many thousands of medications known and prescribed by contemporary physicians, only three, and even these only sometimes, produce certain real results for the planetary bodies of your contemporary, ordinary three-brain beings. One of these three medications that do sometimes produce a useful reaction is that substance, or more strictly speaking, those active elements composing it, which the beings of Merrill Plessy learned how to extract from poppy seeds, and which they were the first to call opium. The second substance is that which is called their castor oil. This substance was already used long ago by the beings of Egypt for embalming their mummies, and it was they who also noticed that this medication has, among other things, that action for which it is employed today. The knowledge about this castor oil has been passed down to beings of Egypt from those beings of the continent of Atlantis who belong to the learned society of Akhaldans. And the third substance is the one that from the dawn of centuries has been extracted from what is called the cinchona tree. And so, my boy, listen to the information I shall give you about the title of doctor recently invented to designate terrestrial physicians. This, too, it seems, is an invention of the beings of that important community of Germany, and they thought up this appellation in order to indicate some merit or other of certain of them. But this same invention was soon spread over the whole planet. For some reason, became the ordinary form of address for all contemporary physicians there. It must even be emphasized that, thanks to this invention, yet one more was added to the many factors that, taken as a whole, constantly lead them into error and render their being mentation, already weakened without this, year by year more gelatinous. On account of their new word, doctor, even our Ahun, in spite of having an incomparably more normal presence than theirs, and a being reason of much higher quality, once had a very disagreeable and even idiotic misadventure on that planet. But it would be much better, in my opinion, if he told you about it himself. With these words, Beelzebub turned to Ahun and said, "Do tell us, old fellow, how this all happened and what it was that all day long, for several days, made you school-hatching and Sir Kuhart, or as the three-brained beings of the planet Earth would say, grumble and sputter, like your friend Dame Bess." Then Ahun, again imitating the style of Beelzebub, and even his very intonation, began to relate as follows. "This misadventure of mine occurred in the following circumstances. During this sixth visit of ours on the planet Earth, toward the very end, we had to exist for a while in the capital of those German beings who, as his right reference deigned to say, invented this accursed word, doctor. In the hotel where we had our place of residence next to my room, or, as he said, in the number next to mine, there existed two very agreeable beings who had only recently celebrated the sacrament of the union of the active with the passive for the purpose of serving the great all-universal trogo-auto-egocratic process by the continuation of their species, or, as your favorites would say, they'd just been married and were still considered newlyweds. Well, by chance, I became acquainted with this young couple in the house of some friends of mine, and after they had often invited me to their room for what is called a cup of tea, and sometimes I even used to drop in on them without being invited in order to shorten the wearisome German evenings. The passive half of this couple was, as is said there, in an interesting condition. She was expecting her firstborn. Like myself, they were in the capital for an indefinite period for reasons connected with the profession of the active half of this young couple, and, as I said, was staying in the same hotel as we were. His profession, by the way, was highly original, even according to the notions of the beings of this incomparable planet. He was famous in his own country as one of the best specialists in the art of adorning the faces of his clients with the scars so dear to the students of German universities. One day I heard a nervous rapping on the wall of my room. I instantly ran next door and found that the husband was not at home, having to go off somewhere just that day. But meanwhile, the young wife had felt faint and, on the point of losing consciousness, instinctively rapped on the wall. When I entered, she already felt a little better, but implored me to hurry for a doctor. Of course, I rushed out into the street, but once there, I thought, and now, where shall I go? And suddenly I remembered that not far from our hotel there lived a being whom everybody called doctor, and this title of doctor was even engraved in front of his name on a metal plate on the door of his house. So it was to this house that I ran. But it turned out that he was at dinner, and his servant asked me to wait a few minutes in the drawing room, explaining that the doctor and his guests would finish dinner immediately and would soon be coming out. So I sat in the drawing room to wait, but I cannot say that I sat very quietly. I was sitting on live coals, as they say, for I was most anxious about the condition of my neighbor. The honorable doctor, however, did not come. And after almost 20 minutes had passed, I could bear it no longer, and rang the bell. When the servant entered, I begged her to remind the doctor about me, and to say that I was in a great hurry and could not wait for him any longer. She went away, another 5 minutes passed. At last the doctor appeared. I hurriedly explained to him what I had come for, but to my astonishment he began to roar with laughter. I thought to myself, obviously, while dining with his friends, this doctor has drunk a glass too many of German beer. And only when he had recovered a little from his hysterical laughter could he tell me that, to his great regret, he was not a doctor of medicine, but only a doctor of philosophy. At that moment I experienced such a state that it was as if I were hearing for the second time the sentence of exile passed by our endlessness upon his right reverence and those nearest him, and in consequence upon me. Well, dear Hassine, I left the drawing room of that doctor and was once more out in the street in the same predicament as before. Just then a taxi happened along. I jumped into it, asking myself, where now? And then I remembered that in a cafe where I sometimes went, I often noticed a being whom everybody called doctor, and I ordered the driver to hurry to that cafe. There a waiter I knew told me that this doctor had indeed been there, but had just left with some of his acquaintances, and that he had accidentally overheard them mention the name of a restaurant they were going to, and he gave me the address. Although this restaurant was some distance away, I told the driver to take me there as I knew of no other doctor. At long last, after half an hour, we reached the restaurant and I soon found this doctor, and once again it turned out that he was not a physician, but a doctor of jurisprudence. This time I was really, as he said there, up against it. Finally, it entered my head to address myself to the head waiter of the restaurant and tell him exactly what I was looking for. This head waiter turned out to be very obliging. He not only explained to me what had to be done, but even accompanied me to the house of a certain physician, this time called a doctor of obstetrics. Fortunately, we found him at home, and he was good enough to agree to come with me immediately. But before we got there, my poor neighbor had already brought forth her firstborn, a boy, and having somehow swaddled the baby without anyone's help, was sound asleep after the terrible suffering she had endured in solitude. And so, from that day on, I have with my whole being detested the sound of the word doctor. And I would advise each of the beings of the planet Earth to use this word only when he's very, very angry. In order that you may now understand better the significance of contemporary physicians on your planet, I must also impart to you the following saying of our highly esteemed Mullah Nasruddin. He speaks of them thus: for our sins, God has sent us two kinds of physicians, one to help us die, the other to prevent us from living.